Stu Does America.
Welcome to Stu Does America, live from my house in the snow. There's a full inch and a half of snow. Not really snow, more ice, I suppose, which makes, see, we're anti-ice here in Texas, too. It is one of those things that, you know, it's Texas, so the whole world shuts down the second any precipitation comes and it's below 32 degrees. So that's where we are today. I'm home. Most of the streets are pretty much empty, and we're going to give you some coverage today. I think you're not going to want to miss. If you follow the show on YouTube, youtube.com/StuDoesAmerica, be sure to subscribe and hit the bell for notifications. And I will say, more important than ever, because this is a big week, we've got big announcements coming to you this week, including what's happening for me after I leave the radio show. This is my last week on radio. We'll have that for you this week. We will also have an update on what's going on with this show that's coming on this week as well. So if there's ever been a time to subscribe to youtube.com/StuDoesAmerica, now is the time. Don't miss out on all the exciting announcements. We're also going to have Dan Andros on today to look at the politics of professional sports. That's really interesting stuff. If you can believe it, there's some crazy stuff going on in the Middle East. We'll talk about that as well. But we're going to start by doing the shooting of Alex Preddy. This has obviously been the big story all over the place today, and there's a lot to go through, so let's dive right into it. I will start with the typical Stu Does America disclaimer, which is really, really important, and one that actually does matter. It's not, I'm not just saying it to be lawyerly. I'm saying it because it's the sane way to look at stories like this. It is always better to know the information before you discuss the information. And what we can do is discuss what we know so far, but we're going to include, and it's important to include, the facts that, you know, the fact that we don't know all the facts yet. We don't know yet, and we need to know before we can make a final determination on these things. We don't know what led up to this. We don't know what was even said in the moment at a bottom of a pile of people. Well, there's plenty that we don't know, and we need to know before we can really give you the full picture. All we know is a part of the story. And most of that comes to us from videos of the event. There are a bunch of different things, a bunch of different angles that we have seen. Let me show you one of the most prominent ones, and we'll describe it as we're going through it here on podcast. Here is the Alex Preddy ice shooting video. The annoying whistles going off, of course. You've got... they're walking up to a bunch of people. There is Preddy with the camera. He's filming. He does not have anything in one hand. He has only a phone in the other. He then starts to walk back. He's helping a woman kind of leave the situation. As all of this is going on, it's chaos, though. And you shouldn't get involved in chaos with this type of stuff. Woman in the pink, who you remember from the video. There's another woman who's pushed down. Then Preddy sort of slips there and goes down. The scuffle breaks out. Now you have multiple law enforcement agents on top of Preddy, trying to restrain him. He does seem to be resisting potentially, although he is not really successful at that, and that he's surrounded by a lot of people. And as you see the details play out, we get to the moment where the shooting happens. And it gets really ugly. Look, it's an awful, awful, awful incident in every single way. We saw him taping the police, recording the police. That is protected First Amendment activity. He can do that as long as he's not in the middle of stopping a law enforcement action. He does later on, of course, get into that. We saw him walking away with someone else, had his arm around a woman. She's walking to the side. It's slippery. It seems like he's helping her off the street. We saw a woman get pushed down by the ICE officers, you know, relatively forcefully. We don't know exactly why he did that. You know, there's nothing on the video that says, oh, gosh, she needs to be pushed down right away. I don't know why that happened. May have been she was just getting in the way. It may have been, you know, I'm sure the media will tell you that she, you know, he was out of control. It might be. We don't know that yet. We saw Preddy then, when he saw that go on, Alex Preddy steps in and he gets in between the law enforcement officer and the person he is attempting to apprehend, or at least you know, disable whatever activities she was doing. That's obviously not something you're allowed to do. You're not allowed to stop a law enforcement officer in the middle of trying to arrest someone or detain someone potentially. We see a scuffle break out there. Preddy seemingly slips. If you can see it better from a different view than the one we just showed you, but he kind of slips on the ice a little bit and sort of falls on top of the woman. As he is on the ground being restrained, an officer spots that Preddy has a gun, not in his hand, but in his belt, on his waistband, on the back side. It gets harder to tell what's going on there because an officer grabs the gun and starts to move away. Right as does that, it's really chaotic and it's hard to tell exactly what happens. It does seem like someone, I think one of the officers, we don't know for sure, yells gun multiple times. We don't know why that was said. We don't know, you know, did they see one of the law enforcement officers pull the gun out and see that gun and yell about it? Did they see it on Preddy? We don't know exactly. But someone yells gun multiple times. At that point, the officer pulls his weapon out and starts firing. And then other officers continue on the firing. That's pretty consistent with the way that normally happens. Once one shot is taken and officers believe there's a threat, they're going to continue to fire. There's a lot that's usually brought up in these incidents about how, oh, well, why did they fire so many times? That aesthetically looks terrible at times. It obviously is not pleasant to see, but it is pretty standard law enforcement activity. Once we've crossed that line of, hey, we're firing at this guy, you want to take the person and put them out of any threat position. So that while that's going to get a lot of conversation, it's not necessarily particularly germane to the incident itself. And it does seem, by the way, most of those shots happened long after he was already dead, frankly. So it's a terrible incident in every way. But what's the truth about it? We don't know, honestly, at this point. There were some reports early on that potentially Preddy's gun may have gone off in the officer's hand, making the officers believe there had been gunshots fired by someone other than law enforcement. I don't know. I don't see that in the video, frankly, but it could be there. We may find that out as we go. There might be more footage, but there's tons that we don't know. Who knows? We might find out that this guy had been threatening them for hours beforehand, and so they were on edge with him. We don't know that. We don't have any evidence of that, but we might find out something like that. We might find out that the guy was on Signal chats all over the place, threatening people, and that he was a known threat. I don't know. We don't have any evidence of that at this point. We might find out 1,000 different things that change our perspective on this incident. But as of right now, we can only act on the information that we have. What we can say is that the left is doing a lot to make all of this worse. I can say that with 100% full confidence. You can go out there and rant about ICE agents all you want, and that may very well be worth doing in this situation. That being said, what we know for a fact is that the left continues to come out, continues to tell people to go out and try to get in the way of law enforcement, to agitate them, to try to create the type of chaos that leads to something like this. That is true. And we also know, number two, ICE basically has to be perfect. And, you know, this is, you know, similar to what they talk about when you're discussing like a defensive, a cornerback or a safety in the NFL. You can play perfect defense time after time after time after time. But if you slip and the guy's wide open for an 80-yard touchdown, that's the thing people are going to remember. And there's going to be points on the board. If you're doing your job, nothing happens. And that is what you want out of an ICE agent. You have to be very, very careful. Very, very particular, especially in an environment like this, when there are, you know, dozens of people who want bad things to happen to you, not only trying to agitate you into doing something bad, but also filming you while it's going on. What the left wants are videos like this, and you have to do everything in your power to avoid them. That doesn't mean get killed. It doesn't mean if you believe you're threatened, you should just, hey, well, I don't want the video to look bad. You have to make sure you're protecting yourself so you can go home to your families. That being said, you have to be really, really careful. It's an impossible situation these guys are in. And whether they acted right or wrong in the situation, that has to be factored in, that when you are an ICE agent, if you're going to go out there and be a part of these types of activities, you have to be basically perfect. And that's hard to get. These are human beings we're talking about. And this is chaos that we're talking about. All of this makes these situations very, very uncomfortable for people and also lead to really bad outcomes, which, by the way, going back to number one, is why you don't encourage people to take part in them. It's really important that is the first thing that we say, because you'll notice there are ICE operations going on all over the country. All the problems are happening under Tim Walz. There's a reason for that. There's a reason for that. Number three, what we know right now, and this is an important part, and it might be uncomfortable for people to hear, but it is an important part. What we know right now does not support a lot of the statements made by people in the administration, in Homeland Security, in ICE leadership. They are saying things that, number one, are not true, we know, and I'll get to that in a minute, and number two, do not appear to be true by any of the evidence that we have at this time. That's not helpful. And, you know, when you are trying to do something that is difficult, people do support the removal of a lot of these criminal illegal aliens. That's true. It's been shown in polls over and over and over again. What they don't like are people being harassed or killed for reasons that don't seem legitimate to them. And when you go, I can understand the administration wanting to defend their officers, wanting to say, hey, we're sick of the media lying about us. We're going to go out there and we're going to win this one. We're not going to back down. I get that. And oftentimes that can be an effective tactic. However, you need to be honest and truthful. And a lot of the things that they've said since this happened haven't been. I mean, it's just true. We'll go through them here in a second. And then the other thing is we have to make sure we look at these things on the merits, not just be part of our team. The CBS News is calling this a terrible miscalculation. Officials' response to fatal Minneapolis shooting causes anger at some on DHS. I want to get into that reporting because I do think it's important. But I want to highlight this as a part of the way we're all reacting to this. Four different stories, all related to illegal immigration. Let me give you the four. We have the Preddy shooting that we just talked about. We also have the Good shooting. Latest headline on that, FBI agent resigns over investigation into shooting of Renee Good in Minneapolis, sources say. You know those two stories, they've been very, very widely publicized. There's a third story that's been very, very widely publicized. A five-year-old being kidnapped by ICE, the facts surrounding the ICE detention of a five-year-old boy. You've heard all three of these a lot. And what have you heard from conservatives on these three stories? One, you know, the Preddy shooting. I think I just outlined what I feel about that. This doesn't look great in every way. We have to get to the facts. But if they did something wrong here, sometimes ICE agents do that. And if they did commit a crime here or something, we should have an investigation and they should be held responsible for their actions. The Good shooting. Again, also tragic, just as tragic as the Preddy shooting, though I think when you look at the details of that situation, it's very clear that the officer did think that this person was driving at them. And we've highlighted a couple of reasons why in previous episodes. You want to go back and look at that? You can. But it's a tragedy, didn't need to happen, but is an understandable and probably legally justified shooting in that case. The five-year-old kidnapped by ICE, totally different, right? This is another story that has been talked about in the media. But what the truth is here is not that the five-year-old was kidnapped by ICE, but that the father, who was an illegal immigrant, when they saw ICE coming, ran for the hills and left their kid out in the cold in a car. And there was no choice for the ICE officers but to take control of the situation and help this child who was abandoned by his father, okay? Those are three stories, and what you just heard from me are three different shades of reaction to it. And I think this is the same thing with conservatives. We've been all over the board on this, trying to understand the nuance of each individual situation and judging those situations based on the facts presented. However, the left has reacted to those stories as well. And what you have noticed from their reaction to those three stories is the exact same thing every single time. No matter if it was the Preddy shooting, the Good shooting, or the five-year-old quote-unquote kidnapped by ICE, we've heard the same sort of stuff. The SS is here, the Nazis are here, the Gestapo is here, we have a new military being formed by our government to arrest our citizens for no reason. These are the worst people on the planet. They're murderers. They're kidnappers. They're criminals. All the same. One, which was basically a hoax, all the way up to the Preddy shooting, which is, you know, perhaps they have the most justified complaints on, their reaction has been the same every single time, which is why you can't take word one of their analysis seriously. None of it makes any difference. We're sitting here trying to determine what happened in each of these incidents. They are not. It's a totally different situation. And when I said I had four stories, I want to bring up a fourth story to you. Because it is a totally different story, and the reaction is different from the left on this one. A 26-year-old man is being held without bond in connection with a home invasion and rape case after investigators say he entered a family's home and assaulted an 11-year-old girl. This is in Bullock County in Georgia. Let me give you the list of crimes this guy has been charged with. Home invasion, burglary, false imprisonment, possession of a knife during commission of a crime, aggravated assault, cruelty to children, statutory rape, aggravated child molestation, rape, and aggravated sodomy. Here, you've heard another reaction from the right, which is horror, right? This is, similar to some of those other cases, but absolute horror and anger and justified vitriol toward not only the person who did this, but the fact that this person was allowed in the country anyway, because as I mentioned, I don't know if I mentioned this part of it yet, he is an illegal immigrant. This is someone who had already supposed to have been deported a long time ago and was here to commit this horrible, horrible crime against this family, breaking in the middle of the night and doing all these terrible things to two children. But you did hear a different reaction on the left this time. It wasn't talk about the SS is coming. It wasn't talk about the Gestapo. In fact, there's no fear at all on the story. In fact, what you got about this story was silence. Nothing. Not even a mention. Media is not interested in it at all. They don't care about that story at all. They only care about the story they want to talk about because it furthers whatever dumb policy aim they have. And I think that goes everything from actual concerns about ICE all the way up to trying to overturn the system of government that we're getting from a lot of the activists out there. And what we're trying to, as adults here, this is not a conversation for children. As adults, we are trying to balance some really difficult trade-offs right now. The administration is making their argument, and what they're saying is they're going to try to do their best as they go and find these people. But this is messy business. It's difficult business. The fact that these local governments are not working with the administration makes these things much more difficult to get through without incidents like this. And what the administration is saying is they're going to do their best. There may be a few things that they get wrong. Some people may get detained for a half an hour, all the way up to terrible incidents like we saw with Alex Preddy. Sometimes this confusion happens and terrible things occur. There will be some bad incidents. And I think the administration is making the argument, we don't want those to happen, but we have to accept that some bad things could occur in the pursuit of removing people like the child molesters we just talked about. While, yes, we do acknowledge there could be some things that do go wrong in operations like this, we're doing this for a good reason. And the good reason is to remove thousands of people who have been charged with homicide and much worse. I don't want to go through the rest of those details, but terrible, terrible, terrible things. And the price, if it has to be paid to remove thousands of these horrible criminals off the street, might be a few mistakes here and there. Some of them might be terrible. What the left is saying is the opposite. What the protesters are saying is the opposite. We are willing to leave those people on the streets. We are willing to have incidents like we had in Georgia. We will accept those things occurring because we don't like ICE, because we don't want those incidents to occur, because we think any enforcement of immigration law is evil and wrong. We are willing to accept the families in Georgia that have their lives destroyed. We're willing to accept that. We're willing to accept people being murdered in the park. We're willing to accept those things because we think that there is an issue with immigration policy in this country, and we don't think it should go any farther than that. What side are you on in that debate? What side are the American people on? I know what side I'm on that debate. I want the government to go to do the best possible job they can to avoid the bad outcomes. But these things, when we talk about situations like happened in Georgia, none of them are acceptable. None. They didn't put themselves in a situation where chaos could go to, could occur. They didn't even go out to a protest, which is, by the way, constitutionally protected right. But they didn't even do that. They just had their kids sleeping in their bedrooms. And that stuff has to stop. Now, what side of this is America on? Right now, the polling does not look good, frankly, for the administration. Here it is. U.S. adults, would you support or oppose abolishing ICE? This is a very extreme example, but I bring it up for a reason. Right now, this is actually turned against ICE. 46% say they would like to abolish it. 41% say they would oppose abolishing it. You see the breakdowns of the parties. It's 76-15 to abolish it on the Democratic side. It is 73-19 on the Republican side, opposing abolishing ICE. The question, of course, you look at it in the middle, which are independents. Now, pro getting rid of ICE, 47-35. There's so much more to this story, and we need to take a break and come back to get it, because I want to make sure we're clear here. If you start going down the road of making statements that are not accurate, this is where you're going to lose the American people. The American people want immigration law enforced. They do. They want hardened criminals off the street. They want what happened in Georgia to stop. That is crucial, and that's what they want more than anything. If you start seeming like you are not taking the rights of American citizens seriously, the American citizens will turn on you. And that's happened a little bit here with the situation, particularly with independents. It can happen on the right as well, especially if they cross a specific line, which I will argue they have started to cross. And they have to be really, really careful in the administration. And I thought Trump actually was signaling he wanted to be more careful on this stuff. We'll get into that here in just a moment. All right, welcome back. It's a crazy day because we are snowed in. I'm at my house right now. Our production capabilities for today are a little bit limited to what we normally can pull off. But there's a lot of important things to talk about, and I didn't want to. We had to be on today. There's just too much to talk about. I want to bring in Dan Andros. He is, of course, from CBN News, friend of the program, who's been watching this story with us as well. And Dan, are you with us?
Yes, sir.
All right. I went through some of the reaction to this. And one of the points I made towards the end of my last segment was talking about how, you know, the left obviously is lost when it comes to ICE and Trump. They're never going to be on their side. The independents have started to turn on these immigration enforcement actions, looking at the polls. Generally speaking, the conservatives have stayed and have been approving of these measures, you know, we're generally here. I think, though, there is a risk in certain ways if the administration continues to talk about specific issues like what they said after this incident. I want to bring in some of the Second Amendment stuff. MAGA condemned by top conservatives for quickly insisting DHS killing of Minneapolis nurse was justified. Border Patrol Commander Greg Bovino said this looks like a situation where an individual wanted to do maximum damage and massacre law enforcement. Yeah, we saw this from we then would have a fundamentally wrong from gun groups. Republicans condemn Noam and Patel statements. Cash Patel, appearing on Sunday Morning Futures with Maria Bartiromo, said you cannot bring a firearm loaded with multiple magazines to any sort of protest that you want. It's that simple. You don't have a right to break the law. Christy Noam on the Second Amendment said was echoing Noam, who said Saturday, I don't know if any peaceful protester shows up with a gun and ammunition rather than a sign. It's quite clear, Dan, that going to a protest, our First Amendment right, is able to be paired with our Second Amendment right of bringing a gun to the protest. And the administration kind of just reflexively jumping to, hey, you can't have a gun anywhere you want, is a little shocking.
This is where I'm not a fan of, and I know you aren't either, of when people lean into my side. And it's just, instead of a principle, we go to my side and the reflexive action is to defend my side. Because what do you say now? And I've seen people bring this up about Kyle Rittenhouse. I mean, you guys just spent the last 5 years celebrating the guy. He was at a protest with a rifle and ended up getting in a deadly altercation with somebody who was, I think it was justified. I mean, somebody was being aggressive with him, but you're allowed to do it. So where were these people condemning Kyle Rittenhouse at this time for showing up to the rally with a gun if he didn't want to have it? You can't have it both ways. And I think these sorts of inconsistencies are typically what the left does, because they are emotive and they react on emotion and they just throw out whatever at the moment sounds good. And the right typically has done that a lot less over the years, but to see it from top officials here, it was a little disappointing.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like there's just this desire to win the day every single day. And I understand that because, you know, look, the administration is constantly under attack from the media. Everything they do is blown up into a big thing. A lot of times it's not a bigger thing than it actually is. But like, it makes me just nervous. I'm glad we have principled, conservatives who care about the Second Amendment on our side. I'll bring up one specifically, our friend Dana Lash, who said statements like this don't help. What he has or didn't have isn't the issue. What was he doing with or without it? That's the issue. Did he draw on agents? Did he reach for it? Was it on him? Again, being armed is different from being armed in commission of obstructing federal law enforcement. That's, of course, very true. I'm glad we have people like that on our side, but I'm surprised the administration didn't see immediately that this would be a massive problem with conservatives.
Yeah. And this is, again, what happens when you get lulled into this sense of, well, I can just say anything and I know my team's going to have my back, because you have to think that out farther. And this isn't, now again, you don't want to just then turn and play the left's game, right? What they want to play is, this game of, we create these violent altercations, we encourage them, and then we get to debate how bad, and then the Republicans have to feel bad and they have to cower now because somebody did something wrong, and so we're going to shame them. And that doesn't mean all of that. Both things can be true at the same time here. This could be possibly, it's possible, of course, through the Second Amendment, for you to be allowed to go to a protest with a gun, but it's also possible on the other side to still be strong on these issues without being weak-kneed. You don't have to collapse just because something negative happened.
You know, I will say, we don't know anything about this guy's intentions, Alex Preti. We don't know what he believed he was going to do with this gun while it was there. I will say, however, if I was going to insert myself in a situation like that, I don't think that having a gun is a bad idea at all, not because of law enforcement, but because many of these protests have turned into chaotic, crazy, violent times where protesters often are the ones breaking windows, attacking people, assaulting them. You are in a dangerous situation being out there. I would advise not going to them for that particular reason. But if you're going to be there, having a firearm is probably a good thing to bring with you. I don't even agree with the advice that you shouldn't. I will say it does, there is a possibility, a very outlier possibility, that something terrible like this could happen. But again, we're the conservatives. We're supposed to be the ones not blaming the guns. We blame the people who might use them incorrectly if that is the case. You don't blame the gun, and the Second Amendment has to be protected just as much as the first does.
Right. And this is the first time I can remember seeing on the right something like this on a gun issue. Like, it's so reflexive and so inconsistent with the Second Amendment view that it's almost shocking to see it. You know, I was kind of like, what? Really? That's the line they're going with? They got behind and they said, how do we message this to the American people? What do we lead with? All these people got together and said, you know what? We're just going to say the dude shouldn't have had a gun. He was obviously there to kill people. I mean, that's not at all what conservatives say on the gun issue.
It's insane. I honestly, it's the type of argument I would expect from a defender of the administration on Twitter, right? Like, just some guy who's just kind of throwing things out there because they're trying to win against their friend in an argument. This coming from the DHS, from the FBI, is a terrible precedent. And hopefully Donald Trump steps in and shuts this down. I will say, his, and again, this says something. Trump, who will tell you he does not care about being careful with his statements. He's going to lay it out there and you judge him. He was by far the most careful of these officials. Yeah, I mean, his statement was much more measured than many of these other people. That's not the way it should be.
No, it should be the other way around. Well, it should be all of them should be doing mm-hmm. that, not the other way around. But it has been the other way around, especially, Stu, when you have a strong narrative here. I mean, look at what the left is doing right now. I mean, all of these protests, like, how is this happening? They're so organized, so blatantly coordinated, signal chats. They're showing up at these places mm-hmm. before the arrests are even being made. They're showing up there before the authorities. Like, what is going on here? Why is this happening in Minnesota, of all places? ICE is everywhere right now. And so there are so many legitimate questions to be being raised because of this, instead of taking the left's bait and going in here and debating exactly this interaction.
Yeah. And I think it's important to make, look, if something happened with this particular guy, he deserves justice just like anybody sure. else. We have to, of course, go through an investigation and understand it before we all just start calling them murderers. But I will say, the left, without the left, this stuff doesn't happen. Without the left constantly agitating, and I mean, again, I'll make the same criticism I just made of people like Kristi Noem and Kash Patel. The leadership of Minneapolis is its office rocker. The things that they are saying constantly, they are encouraging people to go out in the middle of these situations. They're encouraging them to push back against ICE. They are cheering them on. They're swearing to be tough guys about it. It is creating this situation. And then you get situations like Tim Walz, who compared ICE crackdown in Minnesota to Nazi occupation, and Anne Frank. Let me give you this, Sat, Dan. I want to get your reaction.
We have got children in Minnesota hiding in their houses, afraid to go outside. Many of us grew up reading that story of Anne Frank. Mm. Somebody's going to write that children's story about Minnesota. And there's one person who can end this now.
It is absolutely unbelievable to think that this guy was almost vice president of the United States.
Now, as soon as that Dancing Queen video came out on the internet, I knew he was done. I knew he was cooked. With him waving and doing all that, I was like, oh, wow, that's not good for the manly man. But yeah, I mean, it's that sort of hyperbole that you're just like, first of all, do you really believe that? Because, oh, yes, they're Nazis, and we're going to be writing like Anne Frank. But by all means, Minnesota, get out there and get in the way of all these Nazis who are out there killing everybody and throwing them in gas chambers. I mean, what are you talking about? You don't believe your own rhetoric. You just want to rile people up and get them out there. Because if you actually believed it, you'd say, listen, guys, we will handle it. Local authorities will handle it. I will go talk to President Trump. I will figure this out. Stay home. Don't go out there. It's Please. Too dangerous. If you actually believe that, that is what you would say. But that's not what he believes. He knows that these things are only going to happen when you rile up a bunch of protesters. I think it was his like number three person in charge was one of the ones organizing all of these protests. I mean, they're directly connected to this stuff. Directly connected to this stuff. And you can't help but look at all of those facts on the ground and say, maybe this is exactly what they want. And then again, Stu, I'll bring up the timing of it. ICE is active in how many states? Where are they out there deporting people? Everywhere.
All over. Mm-hmm.
Why is it only in Minnesota that everyone's just running around causing all these conflicts? I don't know. I mean, maybe there's something going else in Minnesota right now that Democrats don't want people to know about.
Yeah.
Is there anything? I don't know. Minnesota doesn't ring a bell with any fraud cases or anything like that.
No, not at all. Hasn't made any news. You're right. I mean, I don't know how much of this is a distraction. I think there is a part of it, though, where they see this is all politics to them. And, you know, you brought up Rittenhouse before. Like, there wasn't a big movement on the right to say, hey, let's make sure we get thousands of more people who are out there with guns at these protests. I defended Kyle Rittenhouse because he was justified in that moment, and he was doing everything that was legal leading up to it. And when he was attacked, he was justified in taking that action. I did not encourage every conservative to go out to in the middle of the night in dangerous areas with rifles, because I knew this was the type of thing that could happen. And right. Minneapolis and the leadership there and in the state seem to be completely on the other side of that. They want more chaos. Dan, I want to take a quick break and come back on the other side with something hopefully a little bit more uplifting, maybe a little bit more. There's some pretty interesting stuff from the world of sports that I want to get your comments on. And we'll do that next. All right, we're back with Dan Andros. Dan, welcome back to the program. We have the new information from Vote Hub. This is the first time I've ever seen a study like this, which is the partisan registration of athletes by sports league. This isn't just like generalizing as people who play these games. These are actually asking members of these leagues, are you Republican? Are you Democrat? Are you independent? And so I don't know if you've seen these numbers yet, but let me see if you can get guess some of these. I think some of them are pretty guessable and some of them I was actually surprised by. So let me ask you this. We have the five different leagues, the NBA, the WNBA, the NFL, the NHL, and Major League Baseball. If I were to ask you, give you those five leagues, which one would you say you thought was the most liberal, most Democratic leaning?
I think this is pretty obvious, but it's got to be the WNBA. The WNBA has to be the most liberal. I mean, just given by how determined they are as a league that can barely finance anything. Mm-hmm. They can't finance the sneakers they're wearing, and they still want to make dumb political statements that are always liberal leaning. I'd have to go with WNBA.
And they have to be paid equally, even though they're not doing nearly as much to generate revenue. So that has to be, you're totally correct on that. By the way, the breakdown of it, Democratic leaning on the WNBA, 68%, Republican, 2%.
Wow. 68 what are the two. Other what are the other 30%? Just like
30% independent. 30% independent. Okay. So I'll give you that. So next up on the scale, would you want to take a guess as the most Republican leaning league out of the five?
Well, again, I'm going to go by
WNBA, NBA, NFL, NHL, and Major League Baseball.
Can I talk through it real quick in reverse
order?
Yeah,
please do.
I'm going to say NBA, no possible way. And then what is it? NHL, and then NFL, the other two?
Mm-hmm. And MLB.
The other two? And MLB. Yeah, I'm going to have to say, and then NFL would probably be like, I'd say liberal then. Yeah, I had no idea on NHL. I'd say some NHL and MLB would have to be my guess.
One of those two. Kind of where I was landing as well. My guess was before I knew this information, was I thought Major League Baseball might be the most conservative. I don't know. It's the national pastime. You feel like if your dad is bringing you up in baseball, you probably have some, allegiance to those old times. NHL, I thought would be more liberal than Major League Baseball. Largely because I think of it as, there's a lot of Canadian people who are playing. Obviously, you're interacting in a different world. It's like it's a European sport. It's a Canadian sport, not as much as an American sport. But actually, the least Democratic out of the five is the National Hockey League at only 5.6% Democrats, 43.9% Republicans, and then the rest, about half independent. Major League Baseball is next.
Yeah.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I was gonna say I wouldn't have guessed that it was that like overly weighted. I don't know. I don't really have a scientific answer on that. I just have a sense that hockey families and stuff don't seem like you kind of got to be like a certain type to be growing up and playing hockey. You got to be traveling around everywhere. You got to find hockey rinks and stuff. So like I just picture sort of more like families that are kind of dedicated to these sorts of things, which I view as more conservative, right? Like rather than like growing up in a city and playing basketball or playing football or something like that, where there's more broken families and things of that nature. So,
and also I will say too, traditionally, and this has changed a little bit recently, but traditionally, families that have more assets, wealthier families tend to lean more to the right. And I think honestly, to be a hockey family, we're basically, baseball and gymnastics are sports of my two kids. And those are expensive enough, but hockey is a totally different level. Like the amount of money you have to get to deal with hockey on a day-to-day basis with your kids, I would think you'd have to lean a little bit wealthier. So 44-6 leaning Republican for the National Hockey League. The most Republicans are actually in baseball at 54%, only 8% Democrats, but that's a little bit higher than in the NHL. More independents and undecideds, I suppose, in the NHL. And then over to the NBA quickly, Dan, I'll get your comment on this. They are the second most liberal league, as you might have guessed, 43% to 10% when it comes to liberal to Republican or Democrat to conservative split. And then the NFL is 34 to 20. So the most balanced league is the NFL. What are your comments?
That is interesting, given all the shenanigans they did with the national anthem and stuff. People were burning NFL jerseys at one point before they finally said, oh, wait a minute, maybe we shouldn't do that. But it's hard to say, like, because is it the top down that we're seeing? Because when I'm thinking about answering these, I'm thinking about all the end racism on the courts and stuff like that. And you never see end abortion or something like that on the court. It's always some liberal thing. You know what I mean? I mean, of course, like, I don't want racism either, but right. I just, but
it's
you know,
a,
I don't,
it's more of a,
I don't view it the way they do. Right. Yeah. They're mm-hmm. anyway. So, maybe that's just that. Cause like, even on Major League Baseball, you know, like they're trying to, you know, I'm a Mets fan, which has been a whole other story in itself, but they're pushing the LGBT thing out all the time. Like it's, you know, we've got to see the gay logo for a month. Like I don't want to see the gay logo for a month. Well, I just don't want it, you know? And I feel like a lot of people don't want mm-hmm. it, but they still do it. So maybe that's just the organizations doing that, trying to be woke or whatever. But, so that's kind of where my mind goes on that.
Yeah, I think you're right on that. I think it is much more from the top. I mean, look, you know, one part of this is a lot of these athletes do have to deal with their paychecks essentially going away for left-wing causes every single time they pay their taxes. Mm-hmm. So there's part of that that does, and you see that certainly in the NHL and Major League Baseball. You know, the WNBA is a sort of its own unique animal. But when you look at the NFL, you know, it's interesting because it really is the most split. It's pretty much, you know, a little more left than right, but pretty much split. And again, this is a league that is, you know, what, 70 some odd percent African-American, which is usually a much more liberal group of, right. of voters. It's fascinating to look at that. And I think, you know, when you're talking about boycotting a league, you're boycotting a lot of Republicans in this league as well. And I got to let you go, Dan, but I'll just leave you with this. If you want to take a boycott action, this data shows quite clearly, just boycott the WNBA, which you're probably already doing anyway.
Right.
All right, Dan Andros. yes, they certainly do. Dan Andros, CBN News. Thanks so much for joining us.
All right, Stu.
Well, it's a crazy couple of weeks, some terrifying things going on, including announcing one, maybe two new shows in the next few days. I'm going to be ending my radio stint with Glenn Beck. I'm going to the Super Bowl, my 20th consecutive Super Bowl. We also have, I'm turning 50 years old, which is a shocking thing. And then the most terrifying thing of all, this one right here, Ainsley, my daughter, turning 13, turning into a teenager.
Yeah. I'm the favorite child.
You're the favorite child? Well, you're the only one that showed up. I noticed Zach didn't even bother to show up for this.
Yeah, he's probably playing like Roblox.
He's probably playing Roblox. That's probably true. We're snowed in. Ainsley decided to come and say hello. So gymnastic star of the future right here. Gold medalist, future Olympic Games. Say goodbye, Ainsley.
Bye.
Bye, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.